Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of November, recording at 9:21 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In global stock markets, the China sector, very strong. The Asian stock markets, also very strong. One of the exceptions, we just had a very small decline, I see, in Australia. Now, the European stock markets were mostly a little easier on the day. It was a fairly quiet day, as it was on Wall Street, which closed with a small loss, less than 0.25% on the Dow and the S&P 500, while the NASDAQ was fractionally higher. Long-dated government bonds, a quiet day here as well, recovering, U.S. Treasuries recovering from some earlier losses. The U.S. dollar was a bit steadier here today, and currently on the U.S. dollar index, it's up 0.492. That takes it up above 77. Once again, which is interesting. More on that in a moment. Now, precious metals had been weaker early on, then firmed quite strongly. The only one that was in the plus column early on was palladium, and it romped up another $21 as I speak. Gold price very firm, 1409.70. That's up over 16. Silver gangbusters, 2770. Platinum quieter, but up $5.40 currently at 1774.3. Crude oil had a quieter day, but yeah, it's unchanged, 86.90. Natural gas was a little firmer. It's back above the $4 level. In the agricultural commodities, wheat was firmer. Corn and soybeans down a little bit. Other agricultural commodities mixed. The cotton, which has been on such a tear, was firmer. Coffee, firmer. Sugar, mixed. Lumber down a little bit, pulled back to 273. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, what's been a terrific, very steady stock market rally, which really commenced at the end of September, has just kept on pushing higher. And what I found particularly impressive was seeing a number of the ASEAN stock market indices, which had been in these gradually rising consolidations, they pushed clearly up out of those patterns. They'd started to do that last week, but with Indonesia strong here today, Singapore having a very strong day. Regionally, I forgot to mention in my introduction, but India was down just a small extent here today, but generally quite steady action overall. And because we do have short-term overbought conditions all around, we can expect more of these sideways ranging small pullbacks by stock market indices. The Europeans have been doing that here recently. Wall Street's been a little bit steadier, and the South American markets have been very steady here overall, pushing ahead much like the ASEAN group. Brazil, the heavyweight in the sector, has not seen a decisive breakout from its broad trading range, but it's right up near the all-time highs, so it's hard to fault the technical action beyond the short-term overbought condition. But as I've mentioned before, We did have such a big correction following that. It really started following that overextension that we had in 2009. That's after stock markets just raced higher following lows in March of 2009. But really, by the autumn of that year, they were starting to lose upside momentum, but still pushed higher for the most part over the next few months, until April of this year, when we did see a genuine downside correction occur, and it was a mean reversion correction and a bit more. And that was sufficiently large to cause a good number of investors, particularly those that are mainly US focused, to conclude that the bear market had resumed and that there was no cyclical bull market. Well, as you know, we were Owen and I were more impressed by Fuller Money Themes, which remained very steady overall, and a good number of them bottomed in May. So quite a, big enough of a shakeout to qualify as a correction from the early April highs on into late May. But thereafter, they were very steady, appreciating once again, while the majority of stock markets, including the Wall Street indices, were weak into July and then retested that low a couple of times before finally moving steadily higher in September. But weigh it all up, and the evidence is, I think, technically quite irrefutable that the cyclical bull market is alive and well, and that there was a sufficiently large prior correction and enough ranging to build quite an area of support to fuel a decent rally, as we're now seeing, against a background of very favorable monetary conditions. And I suspect that the rally has just kept going in here, not driven so much by the prior bulls, but by the prior bears. Who find themselves underweight in a momentum move, and that's a distinctly uncomfortable position. And so they've been increasing longs. And I think that some of the people who were in bonds, who were convinced that we were going to see a double dip recession in the United States and something worse, have been shifting some of that money, taking a few profits in the bond market and swinging that over into stock markets. That's how I see it. Now, when will that next genuine correction occur, rather than just pullbacks and small pullbacks and rising consolidations? Well, that's my own question is very hard to answer, but the charts will show us, and the evidence will be in the form of some downward dynamics and for some indices, we'll see a rollover and loss of upside momentum, breaks of the progressions of rising lows that we've seen in the last couple of months. It shouldn't be difficult to spot the change when it actually occurs. Whether it occurs this year, well, probably not. Does it occur in the first quarter of the new year? Well, possibly. Will it occur sometime from the second quarter onwards? Well, if it hasn't taken place earlier, yes, it will. I would expect it's very unusual in any bull market environment to get through a year without at least one correction. And of course, you get many smaller reactions that enable the trends to consolidate gains. Always to the left, or almost always to the left of their rising 200-day moving averages. So that's pretty much how I see it. Still a favorable environment, one where we don't want to chase too much, but one where we can see some very strong action overall. I noticed the uranium sector was particularly strong in here today. And that's despite having a slight downtick in the uranium price last Wednesday. I believe it's updated on Wednesdays and Fridays, and remaining unchanged this last Friday. Just got to have a week off here, excuse me. On long-dated government bonds, I remain a bear. It's just a matter of how long it takes for these futures contracts for long-dated government bonds to top out. I think the patterns are deteriorating overall, and I think activity for the yields is now limited to base formation development in a sideways ranging fashion, but then gradually moving higher. And I think this really is the end of that 30-year cyclical, no, secular, I should say, 30-year secular bull market that we had seen in the form of declining long-dated government bond yields. It was a bear trend that, I'm sorry, I'm confusing myself and confusing you now, perhaps. It was a bull trend that I thought had ended earlier on in the last decade, but got a renewed wind really as the financial crisis unfolded in 2008 and 2009. That was probably it, unless one really does expect the United States and the European economies to fall back into deep recession or worse. Don't put me in that camp. I don't feel that way. There's certainly plenty of risks out there, I think we'll see, as I say, base building in the long-dated government bond yields, and therefore I want to be shorting futures prices for these long-dated instruments on rallies, and I'll concentrate on the U.S. 30-year Treasury in terms of that in terms of that activity. But all the markets that for which we have futures should have broadly similar patterns over the next many years, broadly similar trends. Now, what about this US dollar? Well, it's not running to the downside. Bernanke has been talking about it in defending his latest quantitative easing before the G20 meeting. And of course, he's been roundly criticized by some other central bankers. And that's unusual, but it does indicate the extent of concern over the weakness that we were seeing in the US dollar, which some had referred to as competitive devaluation. Well, I think they're right, but Bernanke was skillful, I feel, in his rebuttal. And he pointed out that given his dual mandate, that his additional quantitative easing was intended to strengthen the US economy, which would ultimately be good for the US dollar. And that's a point that I would not disagree with. So the dollar has not maintained its downward break on the US dollar index. And when I look at things that could go wrong that I think would worry markets, certainly the dollar going into free fall would be one of them. It's not something that I expect, but if it occurred, we couldn't say how on earth did that happen. But I don't think it will take place because there are too many other currencies that have dubious fundamentals as well, and other central banks don't want to see a run on the dollar to the downside. So I think those factors will just combine, plus some short covering, as people see the trend lose downside momentum, maybe keep it range bound for a little bit longer overall. But and that would be still, I think, be a favorable environment for many of the commodity markets, as long as there isn't a sufficiently sharp rally in the dollar to affect prices. I think we will see demand, whether it's for precious metals or whether it's for agricultural commodities, continuing to support these markets. And on that note, I don't want to run on too long with this audio, so I'll say all the best.